sign up.
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Look to the folks at Farm Bureau Health Plans when you need someone who understands the X's and O's of healthcare coverage. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. I'm Mike Keith. The Titans host the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Our coverage on Titans Radio starts at 6 p.m. Central. Kickoff is set for 7:15 Central. The 12th Titan on Monday night will be music legend Sheryl Crow, a music legend who makes her home in Nashville. I had a chance to sit down with Sheryl Crow this week to talk music, being a mom to boys, Titans football, sports in general, and her main reason for being at Nissan Stadium Monday night, encouraging fans to do their regular cancer screenings. The main question I've gotten this week has been, what was Sheryl Crow like? My answer is really simple. She was exactly what you would hope. Truly, I was blown away. Here's my conversation with the great Sheryl Crow. Two years ago, we're getting ready to play Baltimore in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, all these videos start showing up online, people wishing us well. We're big underdogs. Baltimore's the number one seed. And then there's a Sheryl Crow video that just totally took us aback. You're in a Derrick Henry jersey.
That's right.
You're at Lipscomb Academy.
That's right.
And you're not only telling everybody to tighten up, but you're getting all these kids revved up. And for all of us, it was huge to see you do this on our behalf. So thank you.
First of all, let me say revved up is an understatement. And then secondly, let me say that my then third grader was mortified.
Mortified?
You know? Oh, yes. Yeah.
Why?
You know, you want your mom to be like all the other moms and be normal, not to come running in the gym with a film crew behind you. But, you know, he's actually the reason that I'm so in not only the Titans, into the Titans, but into sports in general. He just loves it. And his dream would be to play alongside Derrick Henry.
So how did that happen that day? What led to you doing that with all those kids? I've always wanted to know.
Well, for one thing, the whole school was into the spirit of this thing and following it. In fact, I think they had Jersey Day where every kid could wear whatever jersey they wanted to, and at least three-fourths of the school is wearing Titans jerseys. So when this thing came about, we thought, well, you know what, we can pull this off. And I just went into the headmaster and said, can I do a quick video? And he's like, absolutely. And before I knew it, they had every kid in the gymnasium and they were all about it.
And so you get this because you grew up in a small town, and
yes,
I grew up in a small town outside of Nashville, and we never thought we'd have an NFL team here. And now for all these kids, like your sons, to grow up with an NFL team and Derrick Henry's here and Ryan Tannehill's here and
yeah,
all these players. How fun is that?
It's really fun. And, you know, I grew up wanting to emulate rock stars, right? Maybe not the best role models. And I've really come to understand with two boys how important sports figures are and their dedication and their level of work commitment, and it makes a big difference for these kids to look up to some of these people that are clearly in the public life and to be able to root for them as their hometown team. So it's really been fun. And man, I'll tell you what, getting my kids off the couch when there is a football game on, especially when the Titans are playing, you know, it's impossible.
Sheryl Crow, you are a boy mom.
I am a total boy mom.
Did you ever think that would happen?
You know, it's funny. I'm a mom who adopted two boys. I said, Lord, I'll take whatever you give me. I don't care, you know, what sex, what color, if they got five arms, I don't care. You just give me what I'm supposed to have. But I really thought I would have girls. And thank God, I don't. I mean, girls are fantastic, but if I had to do somebody else's hair to get out the door, it'd be lost. And I'm a tree climber and a sports player and a water skier and a trampoline jumper. And I'm all about boys. So it's worked out great. God knew me.
All right, so Derrick Henry or Giannis? I know you love the Milwaukee Bucks.
Don't do this to me.
I know, right?
Don't.
You love the Bucks, though, right?
We love us some Bucks. Yeah, we do.
How did that happen?
I got to say, it was my Levi, my 11-year-old, who just out of the clear blue, out of all these teams that he's like a statistician for, and I don't care if it's baseball or whether it's basketball or football, it just was all about the Bucks. And I realized when we were in quarantine, really, and there was no live sports going on, that he was just becoming an historian about this team and where they came from. I mean, as far as like all their players and what their stories were, and it was inspiring. And that's what you want. You know, you want your kids to be looking up people that they can aspire to emulate. And definitely Giannis and Chris Middleton and that whole team, mm-hmm. really, Drew Holiday, all of them have a story. And they came together and worked together as a team and triumphed. And that's, man, that's a great story.
King Henry and the Greek Freak. That's two pretty yes. good ones right there, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, Levi, he has a couple of jerseys on his wall. And one of them is Giannis and one of them is Derrick Henry. So, and I hate to say it, Tyreek Hill. But we'll, Whoa. You know, I know. We do love our Chiefs too, but we're all
that's
about
a Missouri the, thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But we're all about the Titans.
Okay. Well, that's good.
If there was a matchup,
there's going to be.
We'd be Titans.
You
yes,
know, that's
there is.
Coming.
It is coming.
Aren't you glad
it
you're
is.
Not the 12th Titan for that game?
It's going to be a nail biter.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I am glad.
But you were an athlete. All-state hurdler?
I was a hurdler. Back when people ran yards and not meters.
I know.
Yeah.
I ran yards, too, so yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't want to age myself, but, you know.
So, let's talk about Crucial Catch. I want to go back to 2006. Here you are. You've won 9 Grammys. You've sold 50 million records. Tuesday Night Music Club's one of my favorite albums ever. It's one of the most iconic albums of the 90s, for sure. I mean, you're on a roll, and it's time for a mammogram. Mm-hmm. You nearly blow it off. Is that true?
I did. I was going through some personal stuff. I didn't feel like stopping everything to go to just an appointment. It wasn't that I was worried about having breast cancer because I didn't have anybody in my family that had it. I was very fit at the time, taking care of myself, and I just didn't think I was a candidate for having a diagnosis of something that could be life-threatening. And so I almost put it off. It was also Grammys week, and it just seemed like it's just not good timing. But I had seen my gynecologist earlier, and she said, look, we don't put these things off because timing is everything. Even though it might not be good timing for you, it matters. And so I went, and they called me back, and I had a needle biopsy just on something that looked routinely suspect, and turned out it was invasive cancer. And it was a showstopper. I mean, if you think that you control everything in your life, you are so wrong. And it takes those moments where life comes kind of screeching to a halt to realize that there are some things that are just out of your control. And doing diligence can be a lifesaver. You know, we don't have a cure for cancer. There are lots of different kinds of breast cancer. We don't have a cure, but we've made great strides. But until there is a cure, you know, early detection is our best weapon. And that's really true across the board for all cancers.
So personal when you go through something like this and you talk about it so openly. Is the early detection part of it now something you feel like is your mission to get across to people?
Yeah, I would not have chosen to be the poster child for cancer. You know, there are lots of other things I'd rather draw attention to. But this felt so immediate to me because when you get diagnosed with cancer or any life-threatening illness, it's not just you that gets diagnosed. It's your family. It's your friend base. You know, it's your posse, your tribe. For me, it was not just my family. It was my whole work family. Everybody got put on hold. And not only does that happen, but it also brings mortality into the spectrum. You know, you start realizing, wow, life is short and I am not invincible. And it makes you look at things that not only are hard to look at, but that change the way you look at everything from that point on. So for me, it was a blessing in disguise, but at the same time, not something I would ever recommend to have happen to anybody I know. So yes, go and get your mammograms. Don't put it off. You know, whatever, your colonoscopies, whatever you are in the age bracket for getting tested for, do it. You know, it is a hassle, but it can be a game changer.
Well, like prostate cancer. 89% of prostate cancers, you have a 5-year survival rate of 100%, but you gotta find it early.
Yes.
And it's 15 years, Sheryl Crow. You're sitting right here.
Yes. And you know, it isn't something I think about every day, but I do think about it. And my kids are aware of it. And they every now and again will say, is it gonna come back? And I say, I am 15 years out, but I get everything else checked. You know, I get my my annual everything. And we've made great strides in the medical world. We just don't have a cure yet. But we do have these tests that we didn't have before. You know, 25 years ago, we weren't doing lumpectomies. We were doing mastectomies. And we've come a long way. So, and especially where colon cancer, prostate cancer, all these things are concerned, the fact that we can detect it so early now, that's what's saving lives.
You talked about how you're proud of your sons looking up to athletes. I'm sure part of the reason you're diving into Crucial Catch is you're supportive and proud of the National Football League for choosing to do this early detection.
Yes.
Not just for breast cancer now, but for all kinds of cancer.
It's been incredible what the sports community has done. And I love the fact that the Titans, you know, they're honoring Breast Cancer Month. And, you know, that may not resonate with everyone, but I can guarantee you that you know somebody who has had breast cancer, whether it's a sister, a mom, a cousin, a daughter, a friend. It is everywhere, and it is all around us. And the fact that the NFL, which is made up of predominantly men, want to honor their mothers, their sisters, their cousins, their wives, by saying, look, this is something that we want to encourage everyone to be aware of, that getting your yearly mammogram matters.
Well, we've all got women we love. Yeah. Everybody in the NFL has women they love.
That's right. That's
undoubtedly.
Right.
Undoubtedly. All right, so what do you think about this Buffalo game? Buffalo looks pretty good.
No.
No?
No.
Just no?
Just no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
No. What does Levi think? And is Levi going to try
Levi's
to take my
funny,
job?
Levi's funny, man. I'm going to say to you right now that your job...
I'm in trouble.
You may be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. My 14-year-old has already given my bass player notice that when he gets to be 18, that he wants to be in mom's band.
Mm.
Of course, I say when you get to be 18, you're going to want to be in anybody's band but your mom's. But, yeah, my 11-year-old, Levi is a worrier. Now, he's going to worry up until at least the third or fourth quarter. He may worry until, like, the last minute. But he's going to believe that the Titans are going to pull it out. He also is playing fantasy football, so y'all need to get with it, is what I'm saying.
You know, is that right?
Oh yeah, he has Derrick Henry. So.
Oh well, hey, Sunday's game pretty good. The 130 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's a lot of points.
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay.
Yeah.
All right, can I ask you 2 music questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I
know you do, but I'm dying to know, what is Sheryl Crow doing musically right now? What's going on in your musical life?
We are finally back to working,
okay,
and which has been a godsend. You know, I think people forget that musicians have a huge world that makes them look great. And for me, I have crew people and I have my band, and all these people have been out of work and need to work and want to work. And I also feel like now that we've gotten out, I can see and feel how much people need music, and it's palpable, you know. And so we've been doing quite a few shows. We've done quite a lot with Chris Stapleton, which has been awesome. I'm always working on new music, so you're sitting in my studio right now. And after you leave, I'm working this afternoon on some new stuff, so just staying busy.
You have always spanned a lot of genres, so I'm wondering, as we wrap up, who does Sheryl Crow listen to? Who are your favorite people, regardless of genre?
My goodness. I mean, Nashville has this incredible radio station called Lightning 100. And although I'm an older rock star, I still love getting turned on to new music. And I hear a lot of great, great music on Lightning 100. You know, I still gravitate to the oldies. You know, I love me some Willie Nelson. Right now I'm reading The Tao of Willie, which is really an exceptional book. And I just love listening to stuff that reminds me of why I got into what I'm doing. And we made a record called Threads, and it has a lot of my heroes on it. And so I still listen to a lot of those people, from the Rolling Stones to James Taylor to Willie to Johnny Cash to even young people like Brandi Carlile and Chris Stapleton and Marin. And there's a whole bunch of alternative artists on Lightning 100, from Lucius to Joseph to, I mean, just really Black Pumas, great stuff. There's great music everywhere.
All right, I got one more. I'm sorry. Okay. I lied. Maren Morris seems to hit a Sheryl Crow thread with a lot of us in the same way. Why does she do that? What is it that's so special about her?
Maren is one of those people that you just know when she first opens her mouth and sings one of her songs that she wrote, that she's going to be around for a long time. She's brilliantly smart, and she's not afraid to speak her mind, which is part of, I think, being a great artist. And it's also will also play into her longevity, that she's aware of what's going on and feels like she can lift her voice into the fray. And not be frightened of what it does to her brand, you know. And that's, in this day and age, really important. I also love the fact that you can hear her influences in her music. And for me, that was so crucial coming up, to be able to take from my influences but also pay homage to them. And I think she's really brilliant at that, too.
I thought you were going to say her give a damn meter's broken.
Yes, her give a damn, yes, that is a great quote.
Yeah, I love her for that reason.
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow, excited to see you at the ball game. Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Everything that you're doing for Crucial Catch. And just remember, most importantly, tighten up.
Yes, tighten up.
Sheryl Crow has certainly picked a big game to attend at Nissan Stadium, as the Titans' opponent is one of the best teams to come here in, I would say, years. You've probably heard 80 great stats about these Buffalo Bills, but I'm going to summarize how good they are in one statistical sentence. Through five games, the Buffalo Bills are number one in the NFL in scoring offense and number one in the NFL in scoring defense. Let me repeat that. The Buffalo Bills are number one in the NFL in scoring offense and scoring defense. They score more points than everybody else. They allow the fewest points of anybody else. That's all you need to know. But for some added specifics, here's my chat with the longtime voice of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy.
Looking at the numbers, the Buffalo Bills have outscored their last four opponents 156-41. You've seen a lot of good Bills teams, a lot of good stretches. It's a pretty dominant stretch of football, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, I haven't seen a lot of good Bills teams in recent years up until the last few. I've seen a lot of bad teams up until the last few years. Yeah, they're playing great right now. You begin to think, man, don't blow it all. Let's save some for December and January, because that's how good they're playing. But the offense was almost unstoppable again when they beat Kansas City. But it's the defense, Mike, that's the big difference this year. They're just doing a great job defensively. And that was where they struggled a year ago. They got to work on it, and so far it's really worked.
John, who is jumping out to you on the defense so far?
The first draft pick, Greg Russo, has been great from University of Miami. And they've got it now so that, you know, they got a healthy rotation. So I haven't looked at the numbers, but I guarantee you Greg Russo, if he played 50% of the snaps, that's a lot. They got an 8, sometimes 9-man rotation. They just work guys through there. Russo is one of the standouts up front there. The Bills' second-round pick, Boogie Basham from Virginia Tech, has also started to play the last few weeks, and he's making a difference. The best players, and I think the most consistent players on the Buffalo defense, and it has been for a couple of years, it's the back end of the defense. The two safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, are just outstanding. Hyde came up with an interception in Kansas City. Hoyer's been solid. Tre'Davious White is a Pro Bowl cornerback. They use Levi Wallace at the other corner. He's pretty good. But it's the back end of the defense that is solid.
Yeah, what jumps out about the defense to me, John, and watching them, is everything is hard for opposing offenses. It's, hey, you pick up a first down, you pick up two first downs, fantastic. Let's see if you can do it again. Yeah. And that's exactly what McDermott wants.
Yeah, and Leslie Frazier, too, has got to get a lot of credit for it. The former NFL head coach and the defensive coordinator now in his fifth year in Buffalo. I mean, that's really the key, I think, the fact that there's such continuity in the coaching staff, and both coordinators are here now for 4 or 5 years. And Frazier's been an outstanding coach for the Bills. He's an outstanding guy. But, yeah, that's what Sean McDermott wants. And you know, they agonized over losing the AFC Championship game and an earlier regular season game to Kansas City last year. And they kind of went to work on fixing it. They said, we need pass rush, but we don't want to blitz. They did not blitz once against the Chiefs. They sent 4 men at most on every down, and they still had Mahomes kind of running around trying to save his life. They had great pass rush with a 4-man rush because they drafted those two, because they've got a great scheme. I think that's, you know, Frazier is not a gambling, risk-taking type of coordinator. He wants to just rush 4, and now he's rushing 4 and getting the job done, and it's really impressive to see.
John Murphy, we know about this offense converting 49% of third downs at this point, 410 yards a game, 140 rushing yards, 270 passing yards per game, scoring at an incredibly high clip at this point, nearly 35 points a game. Where is this offense even better than it was a year ago when it was really good?
I'd start with the running game, you know, and they got the Devin Singletary motor, who's kind of leaner and quicker, and he's got an explosion now that he didn't have last year. He's sort of a plotter last year. They get the second year from Zach Moss, his partner at running back. The two of them share snaps. Those two, I think, make a big difference. To have an effective running game is important for the Bills, but they are a passing team. They replaced John Brown, who I always thought was a great wide receiver, but they replaced him this year with Emmanuel Sanders, who's been not just a good fill-in, he's exceeded what John Brown gave him. He's a versatile, he's a flyer down the field, he's very versatile, can run routes, he's a good leader, he's a guy with a ton of experience. I think he's an upgrade over where they were offensively. But the key man, of course, is the trigger man, Josh Allen. He was great last year. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's been better this year, but he's getting there. They're benefiting from continuity in the coaching staff, right? His fourth year with Brian Daboll, his fourth year in the system, he knows what's required of him. He knows what they need, and he seemed to provide it on a regular basis. Is he better than last year? He was awfully good last year, but he's kind of trending in that direction.
You know, what's really interesting about Josh Allen is I remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl, and everybody was like, man, this guy is physically gifted, but we don't know if he's accurate enough. We're not sure. And it just feels like they handled him so well in his first couple of years that it gave him time to develop, gave him time to get that sort of confidence. And then fundamentally, I guess he's doing things better. I don't see him on a daily basis like you do. But in terms of the improvement of Josh Allen from the start to now, have you seen many players for the Buffalo Bills, especially as at a skill spot, who have consistently gotten better?
You know, the only one that comes to mind was the great Hall of Famer Andre Reed, who years ago, to me, got better every year he came back for camp. Josh has done that. Now, you ask me who's better. Is he better this year than he was last year? I don't know yet. You know, the Bills are only 5 games in. It looks like he might be, but that's the kind of improvement he's given the Bills, kind of what Andre Reed did 30 years ago. It's interesting. You know, in that draft that year, I know they liked they liked Josh Allen. I know they liked Sam Darnold a lot. Darnold was gone when it came the Bills' turn to pick. Had he been there, I think they would have had an interesting choice to make. But it was among those two. I think they got the right – I know they got the right one now as we look back. But a lot of that is, I think, due to Josh's demeanor and his attitude. He's a great leader. He is a great teammate. He doesn't take things too seriously. You know, he's pretty good about dealing with his teammates. He's really good at dealing with teammates. And I think that's a part of him that who knew, right, when he's coming out of Wyoming of all places, who knew what kind of a pro he would be. But he's turned out to be, I think, better than expected.
Yeah, that's worked out great. Let's talk about another guy who's improved, Dawson Knox. We know him well. He's from here, played at Ole Miss. I think the Titans were one of several teams that liked him a lot, felt like he had tremendous upside. And, man, we're seeing that upside this year with what he's been able to do. Are the Bills even a little surprised that Dawson Knox has blossomed at tight end the way he has?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I was thinking about Dawson Knox today and thinking about the way the Bills handled him and how they had the luxury. They had the luxury of being patient with Dawson Knox. Now, this past offseason, you know, they talked to Zach Ertz at Philadelphia. I know they were interested in a couple of tight ends, maybe bringing somebody in, because he didn't have a good year last year, and he had drops. And they were concerned that maybe this guy isn't going to be what we thought. But they kind of stayed the course, and when you're good and you win 13 games a year ago, you could afford to say, let's be patient. They were patient, and they keep playing him this year, put him in prominent positions this year, and he's produced. I think they're very happy that they were so patient with him. And, yeah, Dawson gets a lot of this credit too. He is a better player than he was a year ago. You know, he is a much better receiver. He's always been a willing physical player, you know, and he's got some incredible hard hits. I forget what they call it on NFL Network, but he fits right in too to the group. You know, he really does. He's a really good guy, and he is definitely improving on almost a weekly basis here.
Yeah, great young man, no doubt about it. All right, so if the Bills have a weakness, what is it?
That's a really good question. We were talking the other night, you know, about what potential negatives from the win at Kansas City. They're not perfect, obviously. I wonder about their offensive line, and they've had a kind of a major shakeup 2 weeks ago. You know, they put a rookie in at right tackle, Spencer Brown, and he's been good, untested, obviously, after 2 weeks, but he's been pretty solid for 2 weeks. They moved the right tackle back then inside. Darrell Williams is now the guard. He's the right guard. So they had a fairly sizable shakeup on the offensive line after just three games. They played two games with this new group, and they played pretty well. I guess speaking carefully, the jury's probably still out on that move, but it looks pretty good. Is that a weakness? Not necessarily, but it's something to keep an eye on, I think, for the Buffalo Bills moving forward.
It's really strange that the Titans and the Bills have seen each other in October, basically at the same time. It's almost like a college rivalry for, yeah, like 4 years in a row.
Yeah. Why do I always play you guys? What is this? I love it, but I can't figure it out.
And at the same point in the schedule, it's going to be a lot of fun to see these ball clubs together again and to see how the Titans measure against the team everybody's talking about in the National Football League right now, the Buffalo Bills. I have to imagine, John, for you, this is a tremendous amount of fun covering this team.
Yeah, it has been. And it goes so fast. I on the flight from Kansas City, I thought, make sure you relax and kind of take in what's happening, because this is a special year. You can already tell after 5 weeks, it's kind of a special season that has begun here. And I had to remind myself, make sure you kind of, you know, smell the roses. Don't let it just zip by, because you know how it is in a season. You get so caught up, and you got Sunday night here, Monday night here. You got to catch up on this, catch up on that. You got to make sure you're really kind of taking a break and seeing the big picture. And the big picture of the Bills is great. And the other thing is, I keep thinking to myself, they're pretty young at the key positions. They could be playing this, not necessarily this well, but playing pretty good for a couple of years at least moving forward. So that's kind of encouraging too.
Good stuff. John Murphy, we look forward to seeing you Monday night in Nashville.
Thanks, Mike.
The OTP is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Don't get sacked by the high cost of health care. Make Farm Bureau Health Plans your first line of protection. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Again, the Titans host the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Rhett Bryan and Amy Wells have Titans Countdown on Titans Radio at 6 Central. Kickoff is set for 7:15 Central. We certainly hope that you will join us. Thanking Ashley Farrell, I'm Mike Keith, and we appreciate you joining us for this edition of the OTP.
Welcome to the big show, where the legends go. Everybody knows it's our house. Fighting for Tennessee, making history. Greatness is meant to be ours now. Hey, we got Titan blood running through our veins.